God does speak to us in multiple ways. He is always wanting us to know that he's around. I was kind of joking with God just a few moments ago, because that's how I do things. I'll explain that more in a couple weeks. But why couldn't he have waited for 2 weeks from now, when that's what my message is all about, that someone just comes up and says, hey, someone needs prayer for this, and then all of a sudden they pray for them. You know, that's God. That's how he works. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a prophet or a healer or anything to that effect. It's about the fact that God is the healer, and he's the one that wants to work through each and every one of you, not just those who have an office with him, if you want to call it that way. But we are in the middle of a series, the Left Behind series. Goodness sakes. How many years ago would that have been? Hallelujah. Wow. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to be preaching on sometime soon, so we'll go there. Yeah. Those of you who know me know that I avoid that one, but that's fine. Last week we looked at the presence of God. That's what we're dealing with, the presence of God. Yeah, that's it, right there. Hey. And we talked about the God in the Old Testament, the fact that he's outside us. It's somewhere out there. And, you know, I want to illustrate this just briefly. Could you put up the course for Indescribable, please? This says, indescribable, uncontainable. And it's true, completely true. But that ends up becoming sometimes our mentality of what God is. But that right there, indescribable and uncontainable, is an Old Testament theology. It says it straight out, all through the Old Testament. It says God is indescribable, he's uncontainable, he's inconceivable, you can't understand him. It comes right from the scriptures. It says that. It says you can't understand him. But then in the New Testament, they quote that. Who are we that we can understand God? There's nobody who can understand him. There's nothing like that. But God gave us his spirit so that we have his mind. So no longer is he indescribable and uncontainable. It's not wrong to sing this song. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it can bring us into that kind of an aspect of thinking of God as unreachable, that we can't get to him, that he's outside somewhere, and you have to call him in. And that's not what it is. So many times, as a worship pastor in the past, I would almost put songs together so that I could ask God to come to me, ask God to come into our presence. You know, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. You know, you could look at that as either a question saying, make sure that you don't forget me. Or it can also be just an affirmation from my heart that says, the Holy Spirit is welcome in me. But too often, we're trying to, I'm going to use the word, conjure up the presence of God through our songs, through our posture, how we're either sitting or standing or kneeling, how long we spend, where we spend it, whether it's here at the altar, you know, the most holy place in this whole church is right up here, and you better not have the kids go up on the platform because that's a holy place. That's how we grew up, right? That's not God. Jesus himself brought the kids onto his lap and said, do not forbid them to come on my lap. This is the best place for them to be. There has to be a respect. I understand that. But it should be the same type of respect that you teach them at home. So if they're running around your house and jumping on all the furniture, and you're allowing it, don't expect them to do the same thing here. I mean, don't expect to. You know what I'm saying. I'm glad that you all understand me and my nuances. But that's that Old Testament thing of God is somewhere out there. And he had a better plan. You know, throughout the Old Testament, throughout that Old Covenant, God spoke to his people through specific leaders. You know, you had Abraham that he spoke to. You had Isaac, you had Jacob. Moses was the biggest one that spoke to the people on behalf of God. But then you have all the prophets that it happened with as well. And that was great. It worked. But God had a better plan. And we started the series by asking the question, where is God? Well, God is all around us. It's true. The second answer for that is God is with us. You know, which brings us to today's message, the presence of God in the Gospels, which is God with us. So I want you to, well, you don't have to close your eyes, but imagine with me. If you need to close your eyes in order to imagine, please do. Picture it. Nazareth, 5 BC. Imagine you are either a man named Joseph or a woman named Mary. You are from the nation that is considered to be God's people. In fact, you are in direct lineage of the royal family from King David himself, both Joseph and Mary. Throughout your entire life, you have heard numerous stories of how God intervened on the behalf of his people, your people. You heard how he would speak to the prophets, and then the people would either do what God said and be blessed or not do what God said and be cursed. You heard stories about all of the captivities they went through. And including the time that you're living in right now, 5 BC, and the Romans are in control. We don't even have our own government, really. Yeah, there's the tetrarchs and everything, but they're part of the Roman thing. You haven't experienced God speaking to in yourself. In fact, no one for approximately 10 generations has heard a thing from God. God fell silent for 400 years. He last spoke through the prophet Malachi. As a side note, his last prophecy pointed to the moments that we are imagining right now. Then one day, Mary, sitting in her house, probably in her room, maybe even trying to get to sleep, she has a visit from an angel named Gabriel. Finds out she's going to have a son. The Son of God. This is just blows her away. Well, a little while later, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. He doesn't know what to do. You know, the custom is to put her away and hide this thing. And he was going to do that, and then all of a sudden, he has a visit from Gabriel. Gabriel shows up again and convinces Joseph to carry on. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 to 23. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the Christ For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. A direct fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Four words that changed the entire world. God is with us. Jesus walked this earth physically for 33 years. He proved the promise, God is with us. And it is so much better than God just showing up every once in a while. So much better than him being somewhere out there. Yeah, he was always around, but at the same time, he was somewhere out there. He was outside of us. Now, he is actually walking the earth, breathing the same air, living life as we do. He's God with us. You can open your eyes as we fast forward 2,000 years. The four words that changed history can now change us. We are not alone. No matter how much you may feel that, you're not alone. No matter what we have gone through, no matter what we are going through, no matter what we ever will go through, we just need to know that God wrapped himself up in human flesh. He stepped out of eternity and into time. From the spiritual into the physical. He chose a manger in Bethlehem to communicate one simple abiding truth. That God is with us. You know, those four words have the power and the beauty to change everything. The name of God says it all, and it is all we need to know. God is with us. God himself is present here and now in every situation. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what you are doing, God is with us. God himself is present in every situation. You know, we find comfort in that name, the name Emmanuel. God is with us. At the beginning of this message, beginning of last week's message, we asked the question, where is God? And the two answers we've looked at so far are that God is all around us and God is with us. Both of these statements are true, but you know what? Both of these statements really are about always looking outward for evidence of God's presence. Always looking outward for God's presence. Jesus was a physical being. He was physical. He walked this earth. He breathed the same air. But think about it. He's not physically here now. It's just like talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul walked this earth. He breathed the same air. He spoke wonderful words to everyone. But he's not here physically. The Gospels, they record around 40 different miracles of Jesus. Now, when I first heard that term, that amount, I thought, no, oh, it's got to be more than that. Well, that's because of what how we process we think that he did perform so many things, but really the Bible only records 40. Now, John 21:25 says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. So it says that he did a lot more miracles. He was doing a lot more stuff in this world while he lived on this earth. But all of these miracles were outward evidences. I've heard people say many times, wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus walked among us today? Guess what? It wouldn't be. That doesn't make sense, does it? The disciples wanted Jesus to stay. John chapter 14 and right through to chapter 16, the disciples are really confused because Jesus said, I'm going away. And they were like, well, where are you going? And that's when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus did promise them he would be with them. He even promised it in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 16, and I will read those to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The disciples wanted him to stay, and Jesus said, no, I'm going away. But remember that everything that I have done that you've seen me doing, which according to John was a lot more than what's recorded here. He says, all these things you will do, but you will also do greater things than what I have done. But I must go to the Father. How are they supposed to do this if he goes away? And this is where it relates to a lot of people today. You know, people are still looking for God out there somewhere. They're looking for evidences that are happening around them. They may believe in the aspect of God with us, but usually it's still God outside of us. It's just a different aspect, and a better aspect than God all around us, God outside us. But it still really is the same thing. The whole idea of having to go to specific places, or you go to specific people, or even have a specific time that I meet with God, it has an aspect of it that's God is somewhere else. God is outside of me. It's great to have a church to come to freely, to worship God collectively with everyone else that's worshiping God. It's great to have that. It's great to have pastors who will speak the word of God as they see it, and to pray for people. It's great for me because it means I have a job. It's real, right? But what if I wasn't here? What if the church wasn't here? God forbid that what if we didn't have this anymore? Would you still be able to meet with God? In Western culture, we have it easy. Extremely easy. You just have to turn on YouTube and you can find anybody speaking on God. Good things, bad things. Turn on your TV, you can find Christian programming. Turn on the radio. You go to my office, you'll see a full shelf of different versions of this. Go to some places in the world and they might not even have a page or a phone that they can pull it up on. But they still worship God. People gather at church or have a specific time to meet with God. I put that in quotes, meet with God. Because that whole idea, meeting with God, it's like, hey, Barry, you want to meet for coffee? It's an exterior experience. Jesus said, go into your quiet place. Our Bible is translated as closet. But then he says, don't let anybody know that you're going there. Don't let anybody in. Do it in secret. Can I ask you, where is the best place to do something in secret? Right here. In my brain. Or, let's go a little deeper, in my spirit. That's the best place to do it. People go to pastors or priests or ministers because they feel they can only receive when those people pray for them. What a wonderful experience we've had today when we saw someone other than the pastor do it. Some people don't realize that God has made even a better way than God with us. And that sounds awful to say. Did you know that God had a better plan? Not for salvation. That's the best plan there. The only plan there is Jesus. But when it comes to God's presence, did you know that God had a better plan than Jesus? John chapter 16, verses 5 to 7. But now I am going to him who sent me. That's what Jesus said. None of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. It's best that Jesus left. So why are we always wanting him to come back? If I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's to your advantage. Yes, it is amazing having God around us. And it works. Don't get me wrong, it works. It's amazing having God with us because it works. You know, when people cry out to God, he will show up to them. But God had an even better plan. It's God in us. God in us. And for that, you're going to have to tune in next week for episode 3. If you've missed any of this last week, this week, and next week and the week after, please, you can go online and find it. But, and I know that some of this, it might seem like, hey, I already know all this stuff. Well, it's good for reminders. I can't tell you what I've felt in myself just going through this again. And it's in my mind, it's good. I don't know why God delayed for a few years for this sermon series, because I've had it on my desk for a long time. But during the course of this sermon series, we are having communion after each service. And last week, we did it a little differently than what you might have ever experienced. But I hope that it was good for you. I enjoyed it myself. We just have to remember that communion is not about the bread and the juice. Those are symbols of what Jesus did for us. And yes, he said, do this in remembrance of me. But it really is about having communion with God. And I'd said last week, and I repeat it again, that it's koinonia, the act of fellowship, the common union or the community that we have. So we're going to use this as an opportunity to have communion or fellowship or community with God and with each other. I recommend as this all gets distributed that you allow a few moments to reflect and ask the Holy Spirit what He is wanting to say to you today. Let God commune with you and not just you with them. We do practice open communion here, that you don't have to be a member of the church. We do ask that you be a member of the body of Christ. I do recommend that you hold on to the juice and the bread until we can take it collectively. So many years ago, Jesus and the disciples were sitting in a room having dinner. Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he prayed and said, "Take, eat, and remember me." Father, we thank you for this bread, for all it means. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. Let's all take together. And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the bread and said, "This is my blood. It's a new covenant with you." We've preached on the new covenant here a lot, and I think it's important to. Because he says straight out, "Your sins I will remember no more." He says, "You have the blessings of Abraham, not because of what you do, but because you believe." And the continuation of the scripture I quoted earlier is, "By his stripes we are healed." Part of the new covenant. We receive it through our faith in that new covenant. So, Father, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for what you have gone through for us. And I thank you that there's always more. And your word says that there's much more. So we thank you for that. Let us partake. Thank you, Lord. Now, the point of communion is not just us communing with God, but communing with one another. And so I'm going to offer two different things. Three different things. One, if you need prayer, I will pray with you up here. Terrell will come up as well if there's too many. That's one. Two, that you pray with your neighbor. Pray with the person that's beside you. You don't need to know what's going on, but you can. You can share if you want. But I encourage you to pray with one another because that's part of communion. The third thing is more physical. It's the fact that I am opening an invitation for a fire pit at our house at 5:00 tonight. Open invitation. If you're wanting to please bring chairs, bring your own meat and things to share, and we'll supply the condiments and utensils and stuff like that. But I offer that to you. We're going to do it regardless if you are there or not, but we do want you to be there if you can. So this is where I say God bless you. But if you do need prayer, please come up. I encourage you, take a moment to pray with somebody that's around you, whether it be the one right beside you or someone across the church. Take that opportunity. It's a communion. It's time to experience God with us in a reality. Bless you richly. His name.